This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
In the midst of it all, the Fed's meeting on interest rates today. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Remember back in the olden days when markets were focused utterly on the guardians of interest rates at the Federal Reserve, those days of yore back in 2016? Hidden under the hurly-burly of political news right now, the Fed is meeting today, and it's still Janet Yellen at the helm. Susan Schmidt is Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Westwood Holdings.
It's ironic that we've forgotten all about the Fed, which was the complete focus of our attention last year, and we've diverted now to focus on politics and what's going on in the White House. Equally important, but we're seeing this handoff between monetary and fiscal policy, monetary being the Fed, fiscal policy being the government. Even in our attention span, we've shifted our focus.
So we're not expecting an interest rate increase today, but it could happen several times here in 2017.
The prevailing thought is that it will happen 2 to 3 times, but the market doesn't anticipate a start on that increase until June.
Now, some fuel for that line of thinking today, a private sector survey of payrolls put out by the payroll company ADP, is quite strong for January. 246,000 more people on payrolls.
That is a very strong number, and that should give a lot of comfort to the Fed that the economy is on good footing and they have the ability to raise rates without shocking the economy. We've also seen earnings reports coming out from companies because, remember, we're still in the thick of earnings. And so as managements have come out and talked about how their companies have done in the fourth quarter of 2016 and a review in general of all of 2016 and then their outlook, managements feel pretty good about where they are. Earnings have been relatively good and strong. So again, supportive for the Fed that the economy is doing well, going along in a positive direction.
All right, Susan Schmidt at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you.
The government's employment and unemployment reports are due Friday morning. Now to Neil Gorsuch, the U.S. appeals court judge President Trump wants on the Supreme Court. Where does the judge stand when it comes to corporations and real people? Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein has been looking into this.
A number of legal experts put Judge Gorsuch into the pro-business camp. Much of that has to do with how Judge Gorsuch looks at federal agencies. Since 1984, there's this ruling known as Chevron, and it's given federal agencies a lot of latitude in interpreting ambiguous laws from Congress. Industry has complained the EPA, the Department of Labor, and Health and Human Services have too much discretion to change business regulations from one administration to the next, something that will almost certainly happen under President Trump's administration. If Chevron were overturned, Gorsuch has said that would give the public, quote, some assurance that the rug will not be pulled out from under them tomorrow, the next day, or after the next election. That's music to the ears of all those executives who are always talking about how important it is to have predictability.
Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein. A new study sheds light on the growing student loan crisis. Research by the think tank Demos finds that 2 of every 5 people with student loans are either in default or more than 90 days past due. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott looked into this.
In 1988, Latarsha Cocky signed up for computer classes at PTC Career Institute in Baltimore. She hadn't finished high school and was hoping some extra skills would help her find a decent paying job.
I had a young daughter that I had to take care of, and I wanted to make sure my daughter had everything that she needed and some of the things she wanted.
To pay for the classes, Cocky took out a $2,500 federal student loan, but she never finished.
I think I was there less than a month because I came down with an illness.
That didn't stop the school from charging her or the student loan bills from showing up. Cocky says a seizure disorder has kept her from working ever since. She made payments for a while, but eventually defaulted on the loan. Her sole income is a disability check, so even $20 a month is a strain. But also,
I just felt like, why should I pay back something that I didn't benefit from?
Like Cocky, more than half of people struggling to pay back their student loans owe less than $20,000, according to Demos. The study's author, Robert Hilton Smith, says students who borrowed less than $10,000 were about as likely to default as those owing more than $100,000.
That was perhaps the most surprising part to me, that in essence, there was no correlation between the amount borrowed and the default rate.
One likely reason, people who didn't graduate and didn't get that boost in the labor market were twice as likely to default as those with degrees. Justin Drager is president of the National Association of Student Financial Aid Administrators. He says that's the hidden story of student loan default in this country.
It's not the students who have racked up tens of thousands of dollars in loan debt. It's the students who have relatively low amounts that have to, for whatever reason, drop out or stop out of school and then find themselves in a world of hurt when they default.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is that a lot of these schools...
Latarsha Cocky eventually got legal help. Her pro bono lawyer, Catherine Gonzalez, has applied for her loan to be discharged based on alleged fraud at the now-defunct career school she attended.
Though the amount might seem relatively small, I mean, that's a huge amount to pay, you know, if you have limited income.
And when borrowers default, not only do they wind up paying more in fees and penalties, the ding to their credit makes it harder to get mortgages, credit cards, even find jobs. In Baltimore, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And Charlie Brown, Linus, and Snoopy are reportedly up for sale. Iconics Brands owns the rights to Peanuts, the comic characters from the late Charles M. Schulz. The news agency Reuters says some buyers from China are interested. One business school professor we consult emailed me this morning wondering if the president would pressure Iconics to keep Peanuts in America or if the Committee on Foreign Investment might block a sale on national security grounds. Wise guy. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.